ask you, are you a thermostat or a thermometer?
The difference between a thermometer and a thermostat is awesome. Because a thermostat, what does it do? Well, a thermostat changes the atmosphere. It changes everything that's around it, right? Oh, Lord, let us be thermostats. That we can change the atmosphere that's around us, at the job, at the school, wherever. I want to be a thermostat. I want to be transforming and changing for your glory.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
What's involved in knowing God's will? What gets in the way of that? Well, we're about to find out on Sound Doctrine as we return to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The early part of this chapter speaks of consecration, put another way, our attitude towards God. We'll learn that as we give ourselves over to God, He begins to unveil His will to us. With the rest of His message, God's will for you, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine.
So our spiritual worship is not my will, but it's just simply trusting and obeying the Lord. Now we're prepared for His will, His direction. So first Paul gives us the goal. And that's chapter 12, verse 1, the goal. Give our bodies, present your bodies. It's your reasonable service. And then verse 2, he shares how it's to be done, how we're to do this. Remember, it's for service. Remember, as Jesus saw the crowd, He saw sheep with no shepherd. He had compassion on them. They were lost. And then He saw the people as a harvest. And He said, behold, the harvest is ready to be gathered. And then He said, but we need more laborers. You see, it's about service. Are you a laborer? Are you laboring in the harvest field? Are you busy about your Father's business? No, I'm not saying that you're a dedicated minister of the gospel, and you're dedicated studying all the time and in the Bible. No, you have jobs, you have places to go and people to see and things to do. But are you in the midst of that? You can still be a laborer in the field, a witness for Him, a light in a dark place. You can still give the gospel. You can still share the good news. That's what a laborer is. So blessed because they've received, now they want to give. And they want to share it with those around them. So this is what the second thing in this is. Number one, present your bodies, okay? That's what he shared with us. There's three things. Number two, be not conformed. Be not conformed. J.B. Phillips says it this way. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold, or you'll be deformed. You know, if you're deformed, you can't do much. But if you allow the world to squeeze you into its mold, then you become a worldling. What is a worldling? Well, remember over in Matthew 13, Jesus said this. He said in verse 22, talking about the seed that landed on different places, one landed on the thorns, where the thorns were. And it says that he received the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and then the cares of this world, the riches, the pleasures, the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So we need to be careful. This world chokes. This world snuffs that which God wants to build in us. This world is our enemy. It's against us. It's not for us. And we need to be on guard. The question is, what is worldly? Satan is, according to the scriptures, the god, small g, of this world. That's a false value system we live in. A spirit of selfishness rules in our midst. And we see it everywhere. Everybody, me, myself, and I. That's all we're worried about. That's all I want. And it's reigning in the hearts of men and women. There's high self-esteem with a sense of entitlement, actually. I deserve this. It's all about me, anyhow. This is what I want. And people are just honed into that. Led by lust of the flesh, immorality is prevalent throughout our society. There's a sick humor in this society that's sick. It's in everything. It's in the newspaper, the magazines, the television, the signboards. It's sickness throughout. It's a cancer that's throughout this nation that's taken it down. The media pressure, the ad man, they call them. Commercialism reigns. Man, the media, they love to tweak us. They love to, you know, get us all fearful. And the stuff they come off with and how they blitz certain things. Because they know that if they keep blitzing it, after a while, we're going to believe it. And we're being sold a bill of goods daily, moment by moment, through various ways. It's all a part of the enemy. You know, he uses it all, doesn't he? To try to do what? To snuff out the light. Jesus is the light. He lights up my life. Remember that song? I won't let Satan it out. The candle on the hilltop. Hide it under a bushel. No. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Well, he's going to try, though. Oh, remember over in 1 John 2. Write this one down. This is a good one. 1 John 2, verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, it's going to pass away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Oh, I want to do God's will. I want to abide forever. I want to live forever. I want to live with the Father in his love. I want to serve God while I'm here. There's nothing more that gives more purpose and hope than to share the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, it's worldly if our motive is to please ourselves. It is worldly if we're living for self. It is worldly if you're seeking to be in the in crowd. I want to be just like the Joneses or whatever. If you're moved by peer pressure, that's worldly, isn't it? Well, they just pressured me to do it. I mean, I just watched them and I saw it and I felt I have to do it. You know, that's worldly. But if you're seeking to please God, in other words, do you really want to know? Do you really want to obey God's will? Do you want to be, you know, walking in his will and serving the Lord? He's looking at our hearts. But if you're captured by a hobby, and man, I'm telling you, hobbies will not only capture you, they'll take all your time, all your energy. They will steal from you. And yet it's a good hobby. It's not a bad thing that I'm doing. I'm just really getting into it. I'm almost broke because I buy so much of it. My wife's a little mad at me right now. I'm blowing it big time, you know. I just want one more, okay? And it's addictive, man. It sucks us dry. If you're caught up with the internet, spending so much time on there, getting caught up also in porno. I had a guy come to me last service, said, I need help, man. I am caught up and I'm in fornication big time. I said, what do you mean, with a woman? No, with the internet, with porn, big time. And he was hurting. He was crying out. So we're getting him counsel. I mean, if you cry out, there's counsel. There's a way out. But if you keep on, it'll keep on taking you down. And this brother knows it. It might be you're hooked on eBay. I just like to buy. See what's out there. Get the deals. But when you look back, you've been on that thing for 10 hours a day. And most of the junk you're getting is just stacking up in the back room. And then it's just, you know, it's not what really you needed. I mean, you got caught up in the hoopla of it all. And it's dangerous. Watching MTV, the kids get into it and they watch it over and over again and they just flooding their minds with it. We used to say sex, drugs, or rock and roll. If you're into any of those, you know, they'll pull you down. They'll destroy your life. And yet look at the partying going on in our world today. You're feeding at the wrong trough. You're feeding at the wrong place, and it's not going to bring nourishment to you. It'll kill you. It's poison. So our body appetites, they don't need any more stimulation. They have enough by themselves, right? Our flesh. It's almost like a lost guy he's in the desert, and he's thirsty. He's dying of thirst, and as he's crawling along, all of a sudden he looks up, and he sees water. And he gets all excited and he gets up on his feet and he runs towards it, and then he falls and it's just sand. It was a mirage. And the hope is dashed. That's what the world is doing today, running after mirages, never getting satisfied, finding out it just dashes their hope because that's what it's made up to do. That's how the enemy uses it. Lot is such an incredible example in the Old Testament. Remember Lot. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, and gives us that whole scenario. But it's good because remember Lot, he looked and he had an opportunity to go anywhere he wanted. And he looked and he saw this big city. He saw the lights coming from the city. He saw the green pastures down there and how they're taking care of their goats and all their animals. And he just said, I'm going there. Abraham, you go wherever you want, but I'm taking this land. This is where I'm going. And so he kind of went and he pitched his tent, it says. First he saw it and he wanted it. He was deceived with his eyes. And then he pitched his tent towards Sodom, it says. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story there. And as he pitched his tent, that wasn't the last thing. He ended up living down there. He ended up taking his family. He took his wife and his children. And he said, we're going to make money, man. We're going to do good. This big city stuff. This is going to be awesome. We're going to grow from this experience. We're going to get better. And man, it's going to be great. And so they got involved. He became one of the judges in the city. And then God says, I've had it up to here. With what's going on in there, I'm going to destroy him. Get out, Lot. Get out. Tried to get his wife and kids to get out. He's trying to get them to get out, and his wife's kind of running, and yet her heart is in Sodom. She's already been won by it, and she turns around to look back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. You know the story. But then he not only lost his wife, which has got to be a hurt, but he lost his kids. His kids became very immoral. You see, that's the price we pay when we let our kids and our lives go into the world and touch the things of the world and handle the things of the world instead of serving God, instead of knowing His will, instead of being disciplined in certain areas and seeking the Lord and having, you know, the family prayer time at home, the time of worshiping the Lord as we're driving in the car, going on a long distance ride or whatever. I mean, those times are so precious to those little hearts, and yet we let them go. We more or less sacrifice them to the world. And then they end up pregnant or whatever. And then there's a real sacrifice that goes on with the child. You see, Satan desires child sacrifice. He loves it. And he demands it. And he's getting it, isn't he? But not last Saturday. 5 were saved. 5 more were pulled. Thank God. God is still, you know, wanting to use us to do positive things. And then finally, we'll end with this. He says, notice in verse 2. Wow, we're really moving. But you're getting it, right? I mean, word for word, we're taking it apart. Be not conformed to this world. Or don't be deformed in this world. That's a good way to put it. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may test what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation. being transformed. The Greek word is metamorphosis. There's a total change, like with a caterpillar that ends up being, you know, hanging from a fence and it turns into a beautiful butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What? How do we renew our minds? We get into the Word of God. It gets into us. And all of a sudden, we're being transformed. I like the scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. We're transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, even this morning, we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds, by getting that which is right instead of being fed all the wrong and hearing all the lies. We're getting the truths. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what's happening. Now, if you are world-controlled, then you're being deformed. Okay? That's understandable. If you are God-controlled, then you're being transformed. And the difference is between a thermometer and a thermostat. You know what a thermometer is, right? It senses if it's hot or cold, right? It tells you what's going on. So with our society, the temperature of society, what's taking place today? I mean, to be cool and effective. You know, that's what a lot of people want. I want to be cool. I want to be effective. You know, what's the world doing? You know, and many times inside the church, you hear this question. Oh, how's the world doing it? Then we ought to do like they do it, because what they're doing, it seems like it's working. But come on, that was man devised. That was manipulation. That was the lie. And what are we going to do? Go after what the world is teaching and then say, well, we're going to tweak it a little bit. The world does this, so we'll tweak it and make it Christian. And that'll make it awesome. You know, that'll give God's blessing on it. What? No, it's the world. We need to be transformed and do it God's way, what he would want to do, which is going to be different, which is going to be, whoa, kind of sometimes in your face. I don't understand this. Why would they do that? Why would they allow this? And then all of a sudden, we're seeing this is God speaking to a whole lot of hearts. He's transforming us. He's changing us. But then the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat is awesome, because a thermostat, what does it do? Well, a thermostat changes the atmosphere. It changes everything that's around it, right? Oh, Lord, let us be thermostats, that we can change the atmosphere that's around us, at the job, at the school, wherever. I want to be a thermostat. I want to be transforming and changing for your glory. Now, I don't think it's, again, going back to this whole thing of, well, then I need to get off the eBay a little bit, you know, and then I'll clean my thing up and I'll clean this up. I don't think it's it's not the outward. God wants to renew us from within. It's not about, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go with those that do. Okay? And so I'm holy and I'm square. No, it's about what's inside. And I think this is where God wants to get a hold of us. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the scripture says. Doing the outward without the inward change is worthless. See, God wants to touch us in our hearts. It's not just that we would have a form of godliness and then deny the power thereof. It's, no, I don't deny the power. I allow the power to come into my life, because that's when God's going to make a difference. I want to be filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to know God intimately. I want to be filled from the tip of my toes to the top of my head with the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to be filled with the Spirit. That Jesus said, I want you to, in John 7, I want you to be so full that it'll gush up inside of you and flow out to others all around you. Not just the indwelling, but the overflowing of God. God help us. So the disciples were distressed. They were confused. Jesus came and said, Why are you so troubled? Or actually, he said, don't be so troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will return for you to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you might be also. And whether I go, you know the way, you know. And then Thomas goes, no, we don't. What are you doing, Lord? We don't know what you're talking about. We know not whether you're going, or how can we know the way? And they're all panicking. You know, they're all afraid. And Jesus said, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to get to the Father but by me. It's relationship. It's character. You become a child of God. Simple. And then you begin to serve the Lord by giving your body a living sacrifice, not being conformed into this world. Now, I heard a guy panicking, or actually a woman was panicking. The captain was trying to bring the boat into the harbor, and there was a huge storm, huge waves out there. There was two long jetties that were going out, and they were being smashed between the two. And the woman just panicked and said, Captain, how in the world are we going to get in? I mean, the winds are contrary. It's foggy. You can barely see. The waves are splashing up, and there's the rocks right there and the rocks right there. Well, how are we going to make it? And the captain said, listen, woman, calm down. You see those lights out there? There's three of them, right? Yeah. Well, what I do is just line those three lights up. You see, I got my benchmark here, landmark. Thank you. Got my landmarks, and I line those three up, and I go in. Now, what are the three for us this morning? I want to end with this. Listen. Number one is the Word of God. Is it according to God's Word? Is it in the Word of God? Is it according to God's Word? We check that out. That's the first light that we line up. Then number two, do I have a peace about it? Is His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I need, this is God's will. This is what we need to do. So first of all, is it according to His Word? Do I have a peace about doing it? And the third light that you line up so you can go on in is, are the circumstances there? Is the door opening? Is it really working? As you're moving. And if you get these three lined up, you go in. You go in. And you'll know that it's God's will. Now, here's a simpler one-step sentence as far as what God's will is. And it's by St. Augustine. St. Augustine says, to know God's will, and here's his quote, just love God with all of your heart and do what you want. And that's just, boom. Just love God with all your heart and do what you want. You're going to do fine. You're going to do what pleases God. You're going to serve God. Because why? Because you love Him with all your heart. It's simple, isn't it?
That's Pastor Jeff Johnson with Sound Doctrine from the Book of Romans. His message today goes by the title of God's Will for You. To purchase today's study from Romans on CD for a cost of $5, call toll-free 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also listen to us online at sounddoctrineradio.org or through our app. Simply search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Have you had a chance to hear Pastor Jeff's testimony? If not, here's your chance. It's detailed in a book called The Seeker. You'll be blessed as you read of the amazing grace of God that can transform a person that truly is seeking after Him. Pastor Jeff had an amazing change of heart and life, and this is his story. The book comes with the CD, The Power of a Testimony. And we'd also like to send you a special Thanksgiving message from Pastor Jeff. It's called No Leftovers. So to request this special offer today, simply go online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us at 800-353-7553. And as you're able, we would greatly appreciate your financial support. It helps to provide these daily studies on stations all across the nation. People right now are desperate for hope and encouragement. And together, we can bring it to them through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Also, we'd like to pray for you. We realize many of you are hurting, others facing some big decisions. Share your requests today by email at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Well, we talked about our attitude towards God today on Sound Doctrine. Next time, we'll go on to discuss our attitude towards others. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,